It's Morning Edition on WNYC. I'm Michael Hill. 15 people held at Rikers died in 2021. It was an especially deadly year for the jail complex, where the vast majority of people are just waiting for trial. Those who died were all Black or Latino men and ranged in age from 24 to 64. Reporters Bliss Broyard and Lisa Reardon-Seville profiled the 15 men for New York Magazine. They spoke with families, with cellmates and friends about not just how these people died, but also how they lived and who they were. Warning, some of this material may not be suitable for all listeners. Bliss and Lisa, thank you for joining us and good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You shared with us some tape from the people you spoke with, and we'll get into some of the details in a moment, but let me just start by asking you why you wanted to do a piece like this and what you took away from it.
Sure. Well, this was actually an idea that New York Magazine came up with as a way to humanize the people that died beyond a death number 4 and a summary of their charges. I think jails are very chaotic and hidden places by design, but when you fly into LaGuardia, if you look down, there are not 8 jail facilities there housing 5,300 people, 95% of whom have not gone to trial yet, so they're innocent until proven guilty. And we wanted to really dig into who these people were and how they were ending up there and how they were dying.
Let's talk about some of the people you profiled. The youngest was Esaias Johnson. You spoke to his parents, Tracy and Jerome Johnson.
He liked to see other people happy. And even if he was going through his own stuff, he wanted to see everybody happy.
He used to always say, I'm going to change the world one day. He was just a sweet spirit, you know.
Tell us about Esaias.
So Esaias was 24, and he loved to sing and write songs and dance. And he actually moved to New York in hopes of pursuing a music career. And also there was a man that he had been in love with that he was hoping to reconnect with. But not long after he arrived, he kind of had a falling out with this young man, and the young man kicked him out. And that's when Esaias started to unravel. He had struggled throughout his life with different mental health issues. He also had Asperger's, autism, some ADHD. But it seems that being in New York was really destabilizing for him. And he started making some threatening calls to the college where this young man that he'd been dating had attended. And that's what led to his first arrest. And then over his next 2 years, different relationships after they went south, you know, had a similar pattern where he would get paranoid and make threatening statements. And so he was really somebody that needed some mental health care, not to be locked up in Rikers.
I'd like to hear about another person you profiled. Brandon Rodriguez was only 25 when he died of apparent suicide after a beating by guards. His mom, Tamara Carter, says he was never suicidal before he got to Rikers.
What happened there that he resorted to this? This person that wanted everybody's attention, this happy person, to do that, if that's what happened. There's no answers to nothing.
She says it's really hard not knowing what happened to her son.
How am I supposed to sit with that? It makes me angry. Days I'm angry and days I'm just an emotional wreck.
What can you tell us about Brandon?
Brandon came into the world, as his mother says, loud, loving attention. He hated to be left alone. And he was this really dynamic, social kid. He also, and there are resonances here with Esaias Johnson, you know, he struggled with mental health issues. He had ADHD and bipolar disorder. Throughout his life, he was, you know, school was hard at times, and he struggled in that way. And when he was 18, he was arrested in Westchester County, and his health declined really quickly. And after a lot of struggle at the jail, they took him to the hospital and he was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And that was a real struggle for him. You know, he was a young man with a very serious disease. And that was something that he kind of grappled with. He was living with his family, trying to get his life together. And then he got arrested for allegedly choking a woman that he was romantically involved with. And he went back to Rikers at a time where the crisis was really sort of peaking. People were stuck in intake for days on end. They're supposed to be there for no more than 24 hours. Even at the best times at Rikers, intake is chaotic, dirty. People are coming down from, you know, addiction and detoxing. So the tension was really high. He spent days in intake. He was beaten up by another group of men who were incarcerated, and his eye socket was broken, and he had to be taken to the hospital. When he came back, he was either assaulted or had an altercation with the correctional officers who dragged him out of the cell, and he was put into a shower cell, which is sometimes used as sort of de facto solitary confinement or isolation. And that was when he wrapped a t-shirt around his neck and was later found unresponsive, from what we understand. His death has not yet been ruled a suicide, and his family can't get any answers. You know, they have been calling the jail, they have been calling authorities, they have been calling the Board of Correction, trying to find out what happened to this young man.
In some of these cases, it seems like the brutality of Rikers is a factor, as you were saying. And another common theme seems to be men struggling with mental health issues as teens and as young adults. What's your sense of whether these guys had access to the sort of support they actually needed behind bars?
Well, we know that for the vast majority of people being held at Rikers, they did not receive even their scheduled mental health visits. During much of the night of 2021, 50% of the scheduled mental health visits, the detainees were not produced because of staffing shortages. So people weren't getting their clinical visits, they weren't getting their medication. And it's important to remember about 50% of the detainees have a diagnosed mental health issue, about 20%, I believe, with a serious mental health diagnosis. So really, it's a population that's very, very vulnerable, and they're being put in such a stressful, chaotic situation.
Mm-hmm. We have seen that jails and prisons become sort of the de facto mental health institutions because we don't have a lot of services elsewhere. And so that affects everyone in the jail. It affects the other people incarcerated there. It affects staff who didn't come onto the job necessarily trained to deal with severe mental health issues. I would say the problem often starts far beyond, and there's a lot of holes in the system that lead people with mental health issues to end up on Rikers Island.
Reporters Bliss Broyard and Lisa Reardon-Seville profile the people killed in Rikers last year for New York Magazine. Lisa, Bliss, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for highlighting the story. Thank you.
Rodriguez's death is being investigated by the New York State Attorney General's Office. The DOC says they're cooperating with that investigation. We're going to hear a song now recorded by Esaias Johnson, the man we first spoke about. Yeah, it's been some time. If you or someone you know is having suicidal thoughts, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255.